Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to Futures Focus, a podcast brought to you by Prospects 1500. And it's been a while. It's been a long time. But my man, David Gasper, co-host of the podcast, is joining me. By the way, my name is Alex Sanchez, but that's not important. David Gasper is back. Hooray.
Hooray. I am back. Yeah, a couple weeks off. I had a trip, you know, a little vacation. Got to check out the Nashville Sounds. We were also down in Florida earlier in the week. And it's just like, hey, like, what are we gonna do? And we were in Clearwater. It's like, hey, why don't we go to a Clearwater Threshers game? Because I took on the Tampa Tarpons. So we took in another baseball game. I don't know how to take a vacation without going to see a baseball game, Alex. It might be a problem.
Well, to some people, it might be a problem. To me, that just sounds like common sense. But right. What kind of scouting reports do you have from us from the game? What inside scoop can you give us?
Well, let's see. Jason Dominguez had a very tough game. The Martian. He had a tough go of it down there. I think it was 0 for 5, like 3 Ks. So was not looking good for him there. But I did get to see who's catching here. Antonio Gomez. Yeah, he's the catcher down there for Tampa. He has a cannon for an arm. That I can confirm. I know he's been given a 70 grade arm by some scouts, so I can confirm that is legit. So I was able to see that from the game down there in Clearwater, and then later in the week in the weekend, the Nashville Sounds invited me down to Nashville, to First Horizon Park, to catch the weekend games there against the Charlotte Knights. Charlotte Knights don't have much for prospect talent. It's your White Sox system. But Johnny Cueto was there. He does not have prospect eligibility, though. He's just getting ramped up for the season. But with what I saw from the Brewer side, Ethan Small, 5 strong innings, had a few walks, but overall looking good as advertised with Ethan Small. Efficient stuff was nasty. Love to see it. Bryce Terang, a shortstop prospect, also had a 5-for-5 day. He's just locked in at the plate. He's hitting the ball extremely well right now. You know, not even just, you know, when I was down there, but overall on the season as a 22-year-old in AAA, Terang is hitting .286 with a .784 OPS, 3 homers, 7 doubles. He's hitting the ball extremely well. He's pretty locked in, so... it was a great weekend in Nashville, and if you ever get a chance, even if you don't care about the Brewer system or whoever the Sounds are playing, go check out a game at First Horizon Park and the Nashville Sounds. It is one of the most beautiful ballparks in the country. It is fantastic. You got the view of downtown Nashville in the background. The weather was incredible. They got the bandbox out in right field. It's just a party over there. It's a fantastic place to take in a ball game. Really, really beautiful ballpark.
And we might be seeing Bryce Terang pretty shortly here. Do you have some breaking?
Yeah. News? Yeah. So as we're recording this here on Sunday, Willy Adames just took a very awkward slide into home plate right before we started recording here. It looks like he is staying in the game as of right now, but that ankle, you know, he kind of rolled it a little bit on the slide. It looked pretty awkward. But we will see what happens there and have to see what happens with Adames's ankle. But if he's out for a period of time, you know, he's still currently playing on it, but if he's out for a period of time, Terang should be the guy who gets the call.
Yeah. But going back to the minor league trip that you took, I mean, I tell this to a bunch of people that, you know, they're casual baseball fans and they don't want to, you know, go into a baseball game in the big leagues. I went to the Braves Dodgers, both of those two games, went to a Giants Dodger game, and it's taking you back $200, $300 when you do parking and the food you have to buy to get even a halfway decent seat. Meanwhile, you know, you go to a minor league game, you just got to know the players. That's the only homework you sort of have to do. Once you get to know who the guys to look for, you're getting, you know, $10 to $15 seats. Someday, you know, we have in Lake Elsinore, you know, $2 Tuesday nights and all sorts of crazy promotions, and you can literally sit front row. So, and
it was dollar beer night down in Clearwater.
Yeah, I mean,
we were there, and I think it was like dollar tickets or something like that, or $2, like depending on where it was, like dollar berm seats, I think. Yeah.
We had a promo where they're like, if we get voted for the best stadium in California, then we'll give away free hot dogs on Friday night. And I'm like, that's just like, I don't think that's happening at Dodger Stadium or in Milwaukee or anything anytime soon. But
I mean, the craziest thing though is like, you know, you go to a game in Clearwater and you run into a buddy from college up in Wisconsin. It's like, wait a minute, what are you doing down here?
Oh, that's cool. What are the chances of that?
I know, it was the strangest thing.
Well, it was amazing. David, it's good to have you back, Miss Jeff.
It's good to be back.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about. What the main idea of our podcast episode here today is trying to reformulate the top 10 list for prospects, because if you were to go to almost any site, it could be our site, it could be your favorite non-prospects 1500 site, I would say 80% of the top 10 is AAA or in the major leagues right now. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't really help a lot of us here in dynasty leagues, because these guys, they're literally probably at the peak of their value right now, either just getting called up or about to get called up, and you're not going to be able to acquire them. So we're going to take a look at a top 10 list of AA players and below. So you cannot be above AA to be on this list. You've compiled a list. I've compiled a list. I even got some of our Prospect 1500 writers to give me some of their top 10 lists. And it's quite interesting, because if we do a top 10 list right now of prospects, it's going to be very similar. But if we do a top 10 AA or below, we get some names on here that are pretty wild, and I'm going to share with you some of those. But before we do have a lot of news to get to today, including what I wanted to lead off, which was George Kirby being called up and sort of dominating in his first appearance, looked really, really good. And then just yesterday coming out, not as good, but certainly not a disaster. What do you think, George Kirby? Was it about the right time for him to get called up? And how excited are you among some of the other elite pitching prospects for George Kirby?
Yeah, I mean, he's someone that, you know, clearly in his first start, he showed, okay, you know, looks like he's ready to go. But yeah, I think it was, did he take the rotation spot of Matt Brash?
Yeah, Brash got sent down, which is another news we could kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Around. I mean, it kind of all goes together. It's the Mariners. Yeah. Brash was struggling there. So they call up Kirby, and he's obviously going pretty well here through his first two starts. So, you know, clearly he seems ready. I mean, he was only in Double A, so I mean, he's completely skipping Triple A Tacoma. But I mean, he's a very, very talented arm. He's someone that I'm excited about. I know the Mariners are excited about, and, you know, is he going to stay up? You know, he's probably going to, I don't know if he's ready to stay up yet. I mean, he's 24. Yeah. Already though, you know, he's a college guy, but you know, is he going to go back down for a little bit, still get some more seasoning? You know, I think it's just going to depend on, you know, if he runs into a couple of rough things here. Cause I mean, now MLB hitters are going to have a little bit of film on him. They kind of know what he's doing. You know, it's not just going to be his debut. They haven't seen anything above Double A, so they may not have good looks at him. Now they're going to, and you know, perhaps as time goes on, they're going to get good looks at him and at his stuff, and that might change things. But I like Kirby. I think he's a really, really good pitcher, and someone that's going to be a big part of the Mariners' rotation going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right in that there is a good chance that he gets, you know, set down if things don't go well. I think the Mariners are really trying to make that leap this year, but if he continues to pitch like he did in that first start, there's, you know, he's not going anywhere. So, and you make a good point, 24 years old, you kind of forget about that since he is a prospect, that, you know, this is about the time he needs to make it up, and you're getting the best prime years out of him here, 25, 26, 27. Let's get started right now. So a lot of people think Kirby is the best pitching prospect on the Mariners. Logan Gilbert kind of has beaten him to the majors and done some crazy things this year. So take that for what you will. I think, you know, it's, you, this or that. Doesn't really matter. They're all really, really good. And even Matt Brash, you know, don't give up on him. I think they were a little quick to pull the trigger there, but he was pretty horrendous. But we don't need to talk about Brash in too much detail for now until he gets kind of the call back up. He might even be a bullpen piece for this year, which makes a lot of sense. So sell low.
They also sent Kelnick down. I mean, I know he's no longer has prospect status, but I mean, what is going on with Kelnick?
Yeah, it's been a long time now, and
he still hasn't been able to figure it out.
In Dynasty Leagues, you know, his prospect eligibility has been long extinguished, and you can't really send him down, I bet, in a lot of leagues. You got a decision to make with him. It's so hard to – so easy to say. You know, I see a lot of people there, oh, hold on Kelnick. But what if you're, you know, a competing team, you had him in your spot, now he's just going to sit on your bench the whole year instead of going to the minors? It's a decision you're going to have to make. I'm sure there's some people in your league that probably still believe in him, but man, it's the worst time to sell on him if you actually somewhat believe in him. So, but I wanted some feel good news as well with another call up with a prospect that is off to a fantastic start so far. Now, granted, it's been 29 plate appearances, but that is former number one overall pick Royce Lewis, who had to obviously overcome a major injury in 2020. We haven't seen a lot of him recently. 2022 Ghana in Triple-A was just dominant. I mean, 17 walks to 20 strikeouts, 8 stolen bases, so the leg is good to go. Comes up, hits a grand slam in his first couple of games here. Royce Lewis, again, Twins, they're almost like the Mariners. I don't know exactly what the Twins are doing. I mean, they're technically winning some ball games here, but their team doesn't look that great if you look at their team. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on Royce Lewis going forward? Is he here for good now? I mean, this is a lot of fantasy goodness if he can stay up and produce like this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the issue with him staying up permanently is Carlos Correa. I mean, he came up because Correa had that finger injury. He got like hit on the hand or something, had a broken finger or something like that, or close to it. I don't know. But he was hurt, so they called up Lewis. And now Lewis is hitting well. And I mean, when you got Correa fully healthy and Lewis fully healthy, you know, who's going to play shortstop? I mean, obviously Correa is going to play shortstop. So, you know, where do you put in Lewis? You know, how do you fit him on the rest of the roster? Do they continue to keep him up? You know, do they put him back down so he can get regular at bats? I mean, he's hitting extremely well. You know, certainly can't complain with a .310 average through 29 at bats and a grand slam. Cannot complain about that. So, you know, it's just a matter of him getting the opportunity. And if the opportunity for regular at-bats are there, yeah, there's plenty of fantasy goodness to be had here. But there's also Carlos Correa.
Yeah, and again, Twins are like in first place or floating around there. And granted, the White Sox have underperformed. But when you take a look at this Twins team, it is hard to find a spot for him. You're going to have, you know, his possibilities are kind of blocked by Polanco at second. Urshela at third seems pretty locked in there. Correa.
Plus, you got Jose Miranda.
And then Miranda's playing first. They sent down Kirilloff, and Larnick has been hurt. You figure they want to get those guys some playing time. Buxton's not going anywhere in center. Max Kepler in right. And then maybe a DH spot, maybe a DH Larnick or something, and then put Royce in the outfield. It's just a little bit complicated to get him into the lineup once everybody's healthy, but a good problem to have. Definitely a guy that I think a lot of people don't fully understand. Royce Lewis has 25, possibly even 30 homer potential with 30 stolen bases as well, if everything goes right. So don't forget, number one overall pick. I remember back when he was picked, it wasn't the consensus number one, but still a number one overall pick, 2017.
Yep.
It's been a while. And he didn't, you know, we can't forget this part. I love Royce Lewis a lot. To play a devil's advocate, he hasn't had that breakout season in the minors at all. So we don't know if he can sustain this for a long period of time. A lot of disappointing years, 2018, 2019, sub 260 batting average. Even the on-base percentage was quite poor. He had that fall league where he kind of shelled out. Then he got hurt. 2019 wasn't off to a good start in 2019 as well. So there's some question marks here. Don't go too crazy on Royce Lewis yet. But certainly a very feel-good story, and those are always nice to have. Speaking of another guy who got demoted, CJ Abrams, my rookie of the year, was demoted and proceeded to hit like 8 home runs in 2 days in AAA. So sad to see the Padres demote him, but they just wasn't getting enough playing time. Like,
yeah,
he didn't even have a chance, and I'm a little nervous that they've kind of ruined him in a way. But
well, now they've got Robbie Cano, so everything's fine over there.
Yeah, that was
super excited for that, aren't you?
Yeah, the Padres are very quick to the trigger this year, and they have been for the last couple of years, right? If you don't produce in a week or two, like, changes get made real quick. And
yeah,
Abrams is an example of that. Man, buy for wherever you can get him. He just wasn't ready. I mean, if Tatis was not hurt, we don't see this guy possibly for the entire year, you know. And then here he is starting meaningful games at the beginning of the season. So don't give up on him. He is not like what Kelnick was when Kelnick was struggling. He just clearly wasn't ready. It wasn't even fair to, I think, in a lot of ways to put him in. So be careful with that.
Yeah. Speaking of Padres top prospects, how about Mackenzie Gore, man, starting the season off strong after all his struggles for the past, 2 years or so? Starting off strong in his first five games?
Yeah, it's amazing, and it's a good reminder that once you get that control and the command locked in, if you had the stuff, right, you're going to see huge results. And he always had the stuff, right? We never were doubting the stuff with Mackenzie Gore. It was, could he command and control his pitches? And yes, he has figured something out. He's controlled that leg kick. I think that leg kick is really what got us so excited about him at the beginning, because it showed how athletic he was. But it also was going to be hard to repeat and be consistent with your mechanics. And as you as a pitcher, you could probably attest to this more than I can. Like, repeating your delivery is so important. And when it's that crazy, like it was, to just lower that leg kick just slightly has been producing some great results. Now, we can talk about the Twins being crowded. The Padres rotation is quite crowded with Mike Clevinger coming back. Blake Snell is going to be coming back. Musgrove, Darvish. I mean, they've got a loaded rotation. They're already doing a six-man. I could see Mackenzie Gore kind of being either put to the bullpen, which I would hate to see, but I wouldn't put it past the Padres, and also being just sent down, even though the results have been great. So careful with that. But man, it's been amazing to see how many people are now back in on Mackenzie Gore, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's almost like, you know, giving up on a 23-year-old third overall pick in that 2017 draft class was, you know, maybe not the wisest move to give up on him that early. So
it's just, you know, how do we know the difference between Mackenzie Gore and Forrest Whitley?
Yeah, that's
so hard.
Yeah, it is very tough. But, you know, yeah, if you can make some of those mechanical changes and really kind of figure some things out, you can have a lot of success. You know, I could even point to, I know this is going to be another Brewers example, but Corbin Burnes back in 2019, when he stunk it up, he couldn't do anything right in 2019. The stuff we never questioned, but he just couldn't locate, couldn't command, couldn't control, and he gave up a whole bunch of homers. And so what he did, you know, when it came to his mechanics and the things he changed there, he completely eliminated the windup. Yeah. He just goes out of the stretch, just simplified everything. You know, he had so many inconsistencies there with that windup and going back and forth, and he just simplified it, eliminated those inconsistencies, and look where he is now.
Yeah. Perhaps the lesson here is that with command and control problems, when the stuff is there, looking for those mechanical adjustments behind the scenes, and then also keying in on once they make that mechanical adjustment. You'll have to speak about Corbin Burnes for this after I speak about Mackenzie Gore, right? The results did not immediately follow. He definitely showed really, if you just looked at the stat line, not a lot of intel that he would be this good in the major league. So it takes some time, but that's something that you're not going to find in a stat line. That's something that you're going to have to, you know, rely on us because we're awesome, or do a little bit of homework on your own to see kind of these mechanical adjustments. So I bring that question back to you. Did Corbin Burnes see results right away with that adjustment once he went into the windup, from the windup to the stretch, or did it take some time?
It was actually pretty much like right away. I mean, it was 2019. You know, he had all the struggles in the off season. He did, you know, he completely reworked his mental routine. He added the cutter. He did, you know, he eliminated the windup, made all these changes that offseason, came into spring training, was looking pretty good. Then, you know, obviously 2020 had the whole shutdown, then had to ramp things back up. But pretty much like early in the 2020 season, he was showing really good results and pitching incredibly well. And he ended up in that shortened season finishing sixth in the Cy Young. So it was a pretty quick turnaround once he did figure that out and get it going. But keep in mind, Burns also had a year previously in the big leagues in 2018 where he was pitching out of the bullpen. So he had a bit more experience, you know, being up there first and then having the struggles and then trying to bounce back, whereas Gore didn't reach the big leagues quite yet. You know, he wasn't there quite yet.
Yeah. Interesting to keep in mind. We got to use the past and data we have in the past to hopefully make good decisions going forward. So look for that. Those pitching prospects are so tricky. You got to be very careful. Let's go. We're doing a lot of news and notes, and I understand that, but I feel like it's a lot of good conversation to have about this particular pieces of information. So let's do a rapid fire kind of quick news and notes here as we finish up, and then we'll continue on to the top 10 prospects lists. Alec Thomas got promoted, and he's been off to a fantastic start, hit a home run. I mean, he probably could have made the big league roster out of camp, especially when you look at the Arizona roster. So I'm assuming he's going to be up. I think you have a nice rookie of the year candidate right here in Alec Thomas if he continues it moving forward, especially with CJ Abrams being sent down. So Alec Thomas also keeping things ready for Corbin Carroll, who seems to be on his way up, but more on Corbin Carroll later. Alec Thomas, just a quick synopsis on what you think to expect with him for this year and maybe beyond.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas is, you know, really talented here. I mean, he's someone who can, you know, hit the ball extremely well, can steal bases, can, you know, get some home runs for you. So he's really can kind of be, you know, a do-it-all fantasy contributor there. So I'm excited for him. I mean, there's, you know, that outfield in Arizona, you know, there's definitely a room for at-bats for Thomas and then Carroll coming up a little bit later. So, you know, I'm excited for him. I think he probably should stay up the rest of the way. I mean, he's pretty much there. Yeah, and ready. I mean, he was raking in AAA. You know, he's pretty much ready to go. You know, I don't think there's much more development time he needs. He seems ready. He's hitting the ball well to start. And there's like no one, you know, coming back from injury. It's like, oh, you know, once he's back, we got to push him back down. Like, no, I think Thomas is up, and I think he's going to be here to stay.
Yeah, his advanced metrics are very impressive, especially the K rate, which in the AAA, 13%. And, of course, that bumps up a little bit here in the big leagues, but still 17% shows you a lot for a rookie coming up that, you know, that's one of my biggest factors in is a guy ready or not. You know, you might have some hard hit balls, but if you're striking out 35% of the time, you're not ready. Alec Thomas certainly has a nice history of not striking out a lot, and he's continuing that. He's going to put the ball in play, you know, 40 homers, 30 homers, 25 homers, maybe not, but he's going to be a really good player for you. That's not going to tank your team, I think, once he gets going here. So, and another guy that I wanted to talk about, a little bit more power with this guy, MJ Melendez gets the call up, not because Salvi was hurt, but because the backup was hurt. We talked about this really quickly, but we got last week, but we have some, you know, information about Melendez. Looks like he belongs. Not really the best behind the plate, had some miscues behind there, but who cares in dynasty leagues, right? We're not keeping track of catcher stats behind the dish. So Melendez, interesting. What do you think they're going to do with him going forward? That's really the question, because there's not a lot of places he could play, I don't think, right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough spot for him, especially with the extension for Salvador Perez. I mean, he's going to be around there for a while. So either he's going to be DHing or he's going to be at first base or something. But, I mean, even then, don't think I had a – They got Prado coming up soon, don't they? Or is he already there?
And Vinny as well.
Oh, yeah, and Vinny Pasquantino, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably past Prado at this point. So, yeah, first base is probably in the long term not going to be there. DH, though, I'd imagine you could probably find some DH spots for him. I mean, Ryan O'Hearn, Hunter Dozier. I mean, he's playing the outfield. So there's definitely some at-bats if you're willing to maybe switch off. Switch off Melendez and Perez behind the plate and then designate maybe every other day, get both of those bats in the lineup. That seems nice.
Yeah, it certainly is a good problem to have, I guess, for the Royals. But for Melendez, I mean, it'd be much nicer if they were a clean fit. But yeah, it's tough to see right now.
Yeah. Hasn't been killing the ball either. I mean, pretty good hard hit rate, but striking out 21% of the time. I mean, no homers, but still, it's going to be tough for him to, you got to make a decision. Either you're going to give him at bats, I think, or you got to send him back down. I think they should just give him at bats. I mean, the Royals aren't going anywhere. They can't develop any pitchers. So just let Melendez and Salvi play every day. All right. The last little piece is that Riley Green has been cleared to kind of get back into some baseball activities, which is really good to hear. Want to see him up sooner rather than later. Him and Torque, I think Torque misses his buddy. I think once Riley Green comes up, Torque will get back to being what we want him to be. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I mean, that would certainly be nice for the Tigers and Tigers fans. But yeah, I'm excited to see Green coming back. I have him in Chappie's Prospect Challenge over there, so I am eagerly awaiting his return and Adley Rutschman's return. I'm very much waiting for those guys to be fully healthy and ready to go up to the big leagues. Yeah. But yeah, so very good to see for Green. He probably would have made the opening day roster if it weren't for this foot injury. But you know, now he's finally on the mend and ready to go.
Yeah, we got some prospects still to be called up. I mean, now we're on Grayson Rodriguez watch. Like you said, we got Adley Rutschman watch. We're going to have a Riley Green, maybe even a Corbin Carroll watch. I mean,
we may have to have a Bryce Terang watch soon here as well. Willie Adames has left the game here.
Oh, there you go. With an injury. That ankle could swell up later, too. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, I'm just reacting in real time here. So, like, that's something I'm keeping an eye on.
Beautiful. I love it. So, again, some other guys, too, to keep an eye on. Max Meyer, also potentially getting called up with some injuries in the Marlins rotation with Lizardo. Didn't want to see that for Lizardo, but that does mean we'll probably see one of these guys getting called up soon. Maybe even Yuri, maybe this year. Who knows?
Probably right. Not Sixto Sanchez, though.
No. No, we will not. But let's go ahead and take a break. And when we get back, we will discuss our top 10 AA and under. This is going to be really interesting. I don't, I haven't seen a lot of publications update their lists yet because, you know, still they're technically prospect eligible here for maybe a couple more days/weeks for a lot of these guys. But let's just remove Witt and let's remove Julio. Like, those guys are not prospects now. We got to figure out who the new top 10 is, and maybe you can get ahead of your league mates and figure that stuff out. So Futures Focus, my name is Alex Sanchez, David Gasper. We'll be right back after this. Back Futures Focus here with you. My name Alex Sanchez, David Gasper joining me, and we are into the top 10 prospects list with the catch that they cannot be in the big leagues and they cannot be in triple A. They have to be double A or lower. So that's the rules, if you will. I asked some of our writers to send me their lists, and we'll go over them too here in a second. Like I was mentioning earlier in the podcast, there's going to be a lot of differences of opinion here. You're getting some guys that, you know, do you believe in their low A numbers, you know, or are you believing in their age despite struggles at double A? I'm looking at you, Anthony Volpe. There's a lot to go over here. Pitching prospects, you know, it's really easy for you to put Grayson Rodriguez in the top 10 spot because, you know, like, he's done everything. But are you willing to put one of those guys that, you know, just got drafted into there, like a Kyle Harrison or something like that? I mean, Jack Leiter is kind of an exception. We'll see if if he makes your top 10 list, which I'm guessing he probably did. But let's go over our list. What we'll do here is we'll kind of go, we'll go from 10 to 1. How about that? That's nice. Keep the suspense up.
Okay.
And I'll give my 10th guy, and then you can give yours, and we'll go down the line like that. We won't spend too much time on this. I mean, these are big names still. There's no doubt. It's not like, well, at least I can speak for my list. You know these guys if you're listening to this podcast, for sure. But you might not think that they're, you know, necessarily this high in a top 10 list. So I'm very interested to hear your list. But I start my number 10 off with Nick York, infielder for the Boston Red Sox. Just hasn't done anything bad ever yet in his professional career in a good organization. Lots of talent around him, you know, I would imagine by the time he gets up. Great batted ball profiles, not striking out a ton. This year he is hitting, you know, 255, not the greatest, but last year was such a fantastic year. And everything else besides that average looks really, really good. So I got Nick York at 10.
All right. Well, you know, I was between two guys for my final spot in my top 10. But I knew the second guy is definitely going to be somewhere in your top 10. And of course, you know, I'm talking about Michael Harris. But coming in at number 10 then for me, I'm going to go with Joey Weimer, who is continuing to dominate in Double-A. He's hitting 290. He's got a 923 OPS. He just hit his seventh home run yesterday, and it was an absolute mammoth shot to the apartments across the street from MGM Park in Biloxi. He is just knocking the cover off the ball. He's also got six stolen bases, 12 doubles. He has just been lighting it up. He's been doing everything that he's been continuing everything from last year down in A-ball and now doing it in Double-A, which is an incredible sign. And it's just only pushing his stock up even further that he is, you know, just a dominant hitter that can hit for average and hit for power. And he's got speed as well. So it pushes him up, and especially since we're taking out all of AAA and MLB, it pushes him up to number 10 for me.
What's interesting is before we made this podcast here this morning, I actually traded Joey Weimer away. Can you believe it?
Yeah, to me. Or is this a different league?
This is a different league, yeah. I mean, literally before we came on this podcast, it was an Austin Martin, Joey Weimer, and a couple picks for Grayson Rodriguez. That's how high Weimer has kind of gotten at this point.
Yeah. Also, I want to thank you for trading me Joey Weimer the other day in our league.
Yeah, I mean, I got Kobe Mayo. It's not like I got ripped off. I'm very happy. And you need
I also get a stud prospect, and it's Joey Weimer.
Yeah, it's your guy. Yeah, and I prefer.
Which is why you offered him to me, I'm sure.
Yeah, I prefer Mayo over Weimer, so it worked out for everybody.
Yeah, win-win.
Mayo, they both actually proceeded to have huge weeks as soon as they got traded. We sparked them.
Yep.
All right, number 9 on my list. I actually have a pitcher. I have a pitcher. Oh. He's in my top 10. And that's because to me, he's doing things that only elite front of the rotation pitchers do. And that is dominating at Double-A as a teenager. You see this at times with hitters and we get very excited about it.
I know where this is going.
We don't see it with pitchers very often. And now granted, if you look at the ERA, you're probably thinking, is he dominating? And then you look at the Ks and then the innings pitched and it's 45 to 28 Ks per innings pitched and then 8 walks only. Yuri Perez, my number 9 prospect, had to get him on there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's he's been lining up and it's just absolutely insane what he's doing at his age.
Yeah. You got to buy in. It's worth the risk. I mean, that's the rewards. They don't always line up, but I take the gamble on him, even if he never makes it, you know?
Yeah. All right. For me at number 9, I am going out to the Rocky Mountains and the Rockies and taking outfielder Zach Veen at number 9. He's doing well so far in high A, hitting 276 with a 376 on base percentage, you know, showing some extra base hit ability. Got 10 stolen bases already. So, you know, he's doing well, doing solid, you know, everything you're really kind of, you know, expecting from a guy like Zach Veen. So it's kind of continuing to tick up for him. And I got him at number 9.
Yeah, Veen was very close. I probably have him at 11 or 12. He doesn't make my top 10, but totally get it. Especially if you can stay in Colorado, there's going to be some really good fantasy stuff there. All right, I was actually a little surprised at my number 8 guy. If you would have told me this maybe a month ago, I probably would not have even thought about it. And I guess this means that my first year player draft rankings would have to change because I have Jordan Lawler at number 8. And a lot of this comes from two main reasons. Number one, I was a little concerned about the shoulder injury, but he has proven that to be not an issue. And second, I did get to see him live, and he looked like he was the first, second, and third best player among everybody on the field. He is hitting 337, 6 home runs, 16 stolen bases, 19 walks to 29 strikeouts, a little high, but, you know, fantastic. I think he's my number one 2021 draftee.
Yeah, that's good.
Shortstop.
I like it.
You know, I love my shortstops. So
I do. Yeah, I do. All right, man. For number 8 for me, I am going with your number 9 selection. I've got Yuri Perez slotted in at number 8 on my top 10 because of everything you said about him. I don't need to repeat it. We already know.
Perfect. In that case, I will let you also give your 7th player.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, in that case, I'm going to go with the Springfield Cardinals third baseman, Jordan Walker.
Ooh,
okay. 19 years old. He's in AA. And what's he doing? He's hitting a cool 333 with a 944 OPS, 8 doubles, 3 homers, 10 stolen bases, 17 walks, 29 strikeouts. He is dominating for all intents and purposes. And again, 19 in AA.
I will have Jordan Walker on this list a little bit higher up later on.
So yeah.
Very excellent choice. I think, again, you're starting to see the youth versus the level of competition really influencing some of these decisions. And, he's a perfect example of that. I don't have a teenager next, but he is about as close as you can get to a teenager. He's a 20-year-old. I don't want to say I'm a homer because I think the things that he's doing are fantastic. It is Robert Hassel III. He is, he's not in AA. He is repeating the level technically, but man, what a performance he is putting on. 350, 6 home runs, already more than half of what he had all of last year. 13 stolen bases, hasn't been caught stealing once, 420 on base percentage. This is a guy that I just wanted to see a little tick in power. And with that, he's done everything. He will be a 5-category monster if he continues in this path. And that's Robert Hassel. Imagine he's in AA very, very shortly.
Yeah, I'm going to go ditto here, man. At number 6 for me, I got Robert Hassel III for all the reasons you just said.
Yeah, I have a feeling some of these guys might start to repeat here next. So yep. Let's see. I got at number 6, Noelvi Marte, just because I think the name alone, I mean, we've had our eye on him for quite a while now, it feels like. And, the numbers haven't been extraordinary, but again, we consider age, we consider his potential ceiling. It's very, very exciting. So, and again, another shortstop. You're always going to get a boost for me when you're a shortstop and doing some crazy things. So Noelvi Marte at 6 for me.
All righty. Coming in at number 5 for me, I am going with Henry Davis, the number 1 overall pick last year. Hitting really well in AA Altoona. OPS over 1,000. 6 homers, 24 RBIs, 5 stolen bases as well, which is good to see, especially for a catcher. So I'm really, I'm like what I'm seeing so far from him. So I got Davis at number 5.
Yeah, with the DH too, I think that I'm going to have to sort of readjust my catcher ideas because he's going to probably play every single day one way or the other once he gets up here. While also being a catcher eligible. So these guys might have flipped with this DH. I gotta see if they are going to do this. They haven't really done it with the catchers in the big leagues yet, so I'm kind of hesitant. But yeah, if they do stuff like that where like Melendez is DHing but still catcher eligible, Davis comes up as catches, maybe does first, maybe does a Buster Posey, you know, kind of thing. Definitely would make my top 10 because he is off to a fantastic start. Already in double A, you'd love to see it. Still don't like how awkward he looks when he swings, but who cares if you're mashing baseballs, I suppose.
If it works, it works, man.
It works.
Hunter Pence.
Joey Weimer.
Joey Weimer gets a lot of Hunter Pence comps.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when you look ridiculous, but who cares? Again, we don't grade on the how you look. We grade on the results.
Mostly. Yeah.
So as I mentioned earlier, I got Jordan Walker at number 5. We talked about him. Just fantastic. Now, I have Anthony Volpe at 4, and I think a lot of people might have him at number 2. And it's not like number 4 is a bad ranking. And he is off to a very, very bad start. And I'm not even really thinking about that number, the numbers he's putting up in AA right now. I'm just kind of going over with like what his potential ceiling could be in the big leagues. And I think, you know, we're going to get a little lack of power as much as I would want like a top 10 prospect to be, like when it's all considered. So number 4, still, I think very, very high ranking for him, but I'm not super all in on him. My prediction also stated he would struggle this year in our bold predictions piece. Remember that? Yeah. Volpe.
Oh yeah.
He's not doing too well. So he listens to me. So I do have him at number 4.
Interesting. At number 4 for me, I've got Jordan Lawler, who has been lighting it up for Visalia in A ball this year. Could have been potentially number 1 overall pick last year, but was not. But for Visalia, hitting .337 OPS over 1,000 again, 6 home runs already in just over 100 at bats, 19 walks, you know, 16 stolen bases as well. So he's doing everything we were expecting and then some, hitting well, showing power, great speed, everything you could be looking for in a shortstop. So he comes in at number 4 for me.
So I'm assuming that he's I guess I shouldn't fully assume, but is he your number 1 first year player draft player now then?
No.
Okay. Wow. There you go. Well, that means you left somebody I really, really like off of your top 3. Which I probably could guess who it is. It's probably my number 3 player. And that is Michael Harris. We've talked about Michael Harris a lot. And I still think that my bold prediction is going, I'm going to be nailing these bold predictions because he might come up. He might come up. But anyway, Michael Harris, 22 on something like that, on base streak, hitting the ball to the opposite field and hitting the ball hard. That is a great way to maintain a high batting average, which, you know, we don't always love batting averages here, but they are a category for a lot of us. And the power is going to come with that, the hard hit ball rate. He's got speed. He's going to play a premium center field. If you do individual outfield positions, that's going to be very valuable for you. So yes, Michael Harris, number 3 for me, probably not a surprise to you, perhaps
nope.
Surprise to other people that listen to this podcast, not as often as maybe they should.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I'm not surprised by you putting Harris all the way up there. I figured he'd be on this list at some point. Mm-hmm. For me at number 3, I'm going back to the first year player draft and Marcelo Meyer. Mm. He's coming in. I mean, he's also hitting extremely well in A ball for Salem, hitting .328. Got some extra base hits, 4 stolen bases. Not dominating quite as much so far as Lawler has been. But still, I mean, the upside and potential here is huge. So, I mean, this is someone that is still going to be up there for me.
Yeah, and I still like him a lot in the real life. I think he is one of the safest minor league players that you can get for a 19-year-old. But I think Lawler's potential is probably a little bit higher, but a lot riskier, I would imagine, as well. All right, that leaves us with our top 2. I'm interested to see who you have at your top 2, and we might have the same number 1, I imagine. Why don't you do the honors? Who do you have at number 2?
All right, well, at number 2, I am going with Marco Luciano.
A fine choice.
Yep. He is hitting pretty well for Eugene, hitting .306, .887 OPS. Some home runs, doing Marco Luciano things. I mean, this is all really kind of what we were expecting, 20 years old, still a young dude. playing in high A. So he's someone that, you know, is continuing to trend up, and he comes in at number two.
Yeah, he's a definition of prospect fatigue in my mind, which is hard to do when you're 20 years old, but he is also my number two player. I'm still confident that he can play on the dirt somewhere, probably not short, but maybe third. And what's really encouraging is that, like, so many people lowered him in rankings despite having a pretty fantastic 2021 season in low A as a 19-year-old, hitting, you know, 18 home runs, 278 average, and then had to jump up to a difficult level. High A is a, you know, harder level, and struggled with the strikeout rate. What I'm very encouraged to see is that the strikeout rate has got under control at 21% now in 2022. If he doesn't strike out, he hits the ball so damn hard that you're going to have fantastic results. So, yeah, I never really lowered him too far. Some people have a lot, but yeah, he's number two for me, and I'm assuming we have the same number one. Look at that.
Yeah, I am assuming so.
Mr. Corbin Carroll.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not even close for me. He is clearly the number one prospect. We're getting Trey Turner type of production potential here from him, which would literally be, you know, two or three spots in the standings just by having that player, I imagine, with the stolen base potential, the power, the average.
That's a top five player in any league.
Yeah. I'm very, very excited. I'm so happy that the injury has not affected him, because that was really, we got that taken from us last year to see, because he was on a huge pace before the injury. And then he basically has continued the exact same pace this year. So, your thoughts on Corbin Carroll. I'll give you the floor here.
Yeah, I mean, he's just absolutely dominating. I mean, there's nothing to complain about here. Hitting .318 in AA, on base percentage over .450, OPS of .1148, 11 home runs. He's also drawn 24 walks, which is, you know, pretty decent amount through only just over 100 at bats. 9 stolen bases as well. I mean, he gets on base, he steals bases, he hits for average, he hits for power. It's everything you could really kind of be asking for in a fantasy player. And you just love to see all of it. I mean, there's no real super concerning part of his game right now.
Yeah. And most of the lists that I got back from our writers had Carroll at least in the one or the two spot. I think a lot of times doing an exercise like this, we tend to kind of say, okay, well, I got to, you know, Julio Rodriguez is number one and Witt's two. So let me just kind of like get a guy up there. But overall, Carroll was just overwhelmingly a top two, top three prospect in this exercise. A couple of guys then, let's mention, that I saw on some other lists that did not make our top 10, and for whatever reason, perhaps we could talk about that. You know, Stauffer had Jack Leiter and Daniel Espino in his top 10. Jack Leiter all the way at 4. I was very tempted to for Jack Leiter. I think he is a very, very safe pitching prospect, and when in a world where there is not a lot of safe pitching prospects. I don't know. I just didn't feel like I wanted to put him over Yuri, and I didn't want more than one. You know, he got roughed up in his last start yesterday, actually, gave up 6 earned runs. Before that, very good, although the strikeout number is not insane for a guy that probably should be having just overwhelming stuff in AA. But what are your thoughts on Jack Leiter? How close was he for your top 10?
He was close. He was in that 11 to 15 range for me. So I thought about it, but yeah, just kind of the early season. You know, the ERA and stuff not looking like as great to start, you know, just kind of push him down a little bit and had a little bit more of the really good contributors to start off the year. You know, the guys who are really hitting well, I kind of pushed them up over guys like, you know, even Noelvi Marte. I didn't have him on my top 10 list anywhere, you know, because he's not, you know, dominating, you know, quite as much as some of these other guys. So I put them on ahead of guys like that.
Yeah. And in fact, boss man Scott Green actually made his list based on results. So we'll talk about that list as well. But I did want to touch on Daniel Espino. Did get placed on the injured list here On May 4th. Now, it is a knee injury. We don't get a lot of information in the minors, unfortunately. It's kind of like hockey injuries, but for probably much different reasons. But yeah, so we do have the information. At least it's not his arm. But man, he was off to a just dominant start. 35 Ks in 18 innings to only four walks. So I understand him. I just never have been super in on the Daniel Espino experience. I think that the fastball is very, very average for how fast it is, if that makes any sense. Where, you know, I think he throws it hard, but it doesn't do much. And I think once he loses that, we'd be, you know, the longevity of his major league time is a little bit in question for me. So he wasn't even under consideration, but does check in here number 10 for Stauffer, who also have Brady House and Brett Batty as his honorable mention. So interesting names there. Any of those guys you think about top 10 guys?
Yeah, I thought about House for a little bit. He was also close for me, you know, especially just kind of, you know, he's also off to a really strong start. I mean, he's hitting 323 OPS of 859, a few homers, but yeah, you know, close, you know, another guy I considered, but just missed the top 10 for me.
So again, talking on Scott's list, his was interesting. He didn't give me his opinions. He gave me basically a stat-based top 10, top five hitters, top five pitchers. None of the names except one are on our top 10 list. So it's very interesting. Luckily for us, our number one guy is also number one for him, and that's Corbin Carroll. So if you're going by the statistics, Corbin Carroll is meeting the eye test, meeting all the tests. And essentially, you need to get him somehow or the other. Other guys that showed up on his list, just to give you an idea of how you might be missing some of these guys. Estery Ruiz, a guy that I've been waiting to break out for years now, seems to actually be doing it. Alex Ramirez for the New York Mets. There are a few Alex Ramirez's, so be careful with that. But the New York Mets, 19-year-old Moises Gomez and Ezekiel Tovar are the hitters on the list. And the pitchers here are fascinating because they are not on top 10 lists, and a lot of them probably aren't even on top 100 lists. Roybert Salinas, a Braves big boy, down there at number one, throws like 105 and weighs 300 pounds. I mean, it's amazing to watch him. Another guy for the Cardinals, more of their devil magic, I'm sure you'll appreciate. Gordon Grachefo has had an incredible run here to begin. Andrew Painter has looked like the best pitcher on the planet because I don't think he's given up a run yet in the entire year. Yankees prospect Ken Waldenchuk, and then Red Sox pitcher Brian Bello. So interesting names there. None were even close to my top 10. Let me ask you this. Any of those guys make your top 100 list going forward, do you think?
Oh, God. I haven't even thought about that. Maybe. I'll just give a solid maybe as a cop-out. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Tovar probably would make mine, as well as I think you have to put Painter on there until he gives us a reason not to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
unfortunately, when I went to the game in Clearwater, I was not able to see him pitch that day, which was unfortunate.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, just incredible.
It was some other guy, some schmuck. I don't know.
All right. As we run against the clock here a little bit, I won't have time to kind of go into everybody's list. I apologize. Would like to do that. Don't get me wrong, but just for the sake of time, I'll just go over some other names that I'm seeing on other people's lists. Paul Ayton had Francisco Alvarez, but again, me anti-catcher. I would put Davis ahead of Alvarez as it is, but definitely another name to keep in mind. Super young catcher. You know, definitely need to keep an eye on him. Otherwise, Paul's list consisted of essentially everybody we mentioned as well. What are your thoughts on Francisco Alvarez?
He was another guy I considered. I think he's, you know, fairly close to that that top 10 there. Yeah, you know, he's got the catcher side of it, but, you know, really just kind of his start to the season wasn't as strong. You know, he's hitting 237 right now. So that's just kind of what pushed him down. I think for me, just not hitting as well as some of these other guys are.
Yeah. Michael Kelly did a disservice to us Braves fans by not having Michael Harris on his top 10. So I would like to call him out, especially if you listen to this whole podcast. He needs to be called out and, you know, put on to blast there. He does have Pretty much the guys we've mentioned otherwise, and he does have Carroll at number one, so that's good. He had Jordan Walker at three. It's pretty interesting. But we had a nice conversation about Michael Harris and how he needs to figure it out. Doug Otto had perhaps the most surprising list that I got from anybody, as he had Ezekiel Tovar number one, shortstop for the Colorado Rockies, in case you didn't know who that was. Again, maybe perhaps of a Zach Veen mold, where if he does make it up and turns into Trevor Story, you know, you have a stud there. So he's off, I mean, and amazing stuff. And then Adele Amador as well, another Rockies position infielder who's having an incredible year, comes in at number 10 for him. He also had Curtis Mead and Mason Wynn in his top 10. What are your thoughts on those? Ezekiel Tovar, Adele Amador, Mason Wynn, and Curtis Mead.
Yeah, those were not names I was considering at all. they were not on my radar for this. I mean, I like those guys. I do. I didn't have them in my top 10 for double A or below, but they're solid guys. I do like Amador a lot.
Yeah.
I think I've got him in all three of my dynasty leagues. But yeah, he's I like him. I wouldn't consider him, you know, top 10 quite yet, but I think with a little bit more time, he can certainly get there.
Yeah, to be honest, I would actually take Amador over Tovar. I think that there's a little bit more unknown perhaps with Amador, but man, he's got 24 walks to 17 strikeouts as a 19-year-old in low A and hitting .312. So just fantastic stuff there. But kudos, again, getting some guys. Mason Wynn, I mean, they're off to incredible starts. You can't argue with the production that those four have done. Mason Wynn, who I kind of gave up on almost, I'll just be honest, entirely because of his debut, which was probably not fair, but he's got some of the most insane tools in minor league baseball that unfortunately probably don't help you in fantasy baseball, but I'm more on that maybe later when Mason Wynn gets a little closer. But Curtis Mead also, the Australian mate down there at four, is pretty good.
God. Oh,
Jesus. It's probably when we should wrap this up. Greg Bracken, good list here. He has Volpe at number one with Carroll at number two. I can't really get too mad at this, but he does have two guys that I did consider really, really closely. In fact, Luis Matos did make my top 10 at first, but with the production he's had this year, I sort of have been out. I know everybody's sort of in on Khalil Watson. I don't quite understand it based on this year. You can look at some of the basic stats and say, well, duh, like he's doing amazing things. And then I'm like, well, he also has 50 strikeouts in 112 at bats.
Yeah. So,
that is not good.
No. I have checked my notes and done the math, and that is, yeah, not good.
Yeah. So certainly not something like Jordan Lawler's doing that's going to bump him up. In fact, it lowers him. You had to have him at top 10 at already. So I don't see the Khalil Watson love yet. I mean, the tools are there for sure, but that's not good. 40 is not good. 40% is not good. But I definitely considered him. Jeremy May, he gave me actually a top 15 list because why not? I love it. The only guy that we have not mentioned, actually a couple guys on here. He has a bunch of Orioles guys, Gunnar Henderson, Colton Cowser, and Kobe Mayo on his top 15 list. So some Orioles love there. If that is the case, the Orioles are set up pretty. I don't think I'd have Gunnar Henderson anywhere close, but Kobe Mayo, I could see on a top 10 list for sure.
Yeah, you're a big Mayo fan.
I do like Mayo, yeah. I like Mayo over Henderson. I have said that numerous times, but
you like Mayo over ham? Turkey or how do you like your
well prefer, that's a weird question because it's, you know, one is a condiment and one is a meat, so it's hard to prefer turkey over mayo, but I do like mayo and mustard on
I'm
my
talking turkey. like on your sandwich. Yeah.
Oh, got it. Yes. Okay.
I thought
you were making Jesus. Me too. Mayo by itself is pretty much a no, but mayo when combined with other ingredients is almost always a yes.
Yeah, man, I'm not an animal over here.
No, I misunderstood. Yeah, I
guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
But just freaking put a spoon into a tub of mayo. Like, no, like that's not what I'm suggesting here.
But I mean, you don't understand because you don't.
This podcast is going off the rails.
It is. Which we should end it. But again, to kind of wrap up here, getting back on a serious note as we finish up the podcast here, you can see that these top 10 lists, a lot of the guys are on pretty much everybody's list in some capacity, right? You're going to see a Corbin Carroll. You're going to see Volpe. You're going to see Lawler, I think, a lot. You're going to see Hassel. But there's a lot of guys that, you know, I had Marte on. You did not. I had York. You did not. You had Weimer. I did not. There's a lot of guys out there that show you just how, you know, hard it is to get from double A to the big leagues, right? So there's a lot for these guys to prove. I think you should be very fluid with this list, which I think, you know, Khalil Watson would love to move him up. I really would, but he's got to cut that down. And until he does, I'm going to keep moving him down. A guy like Yuri Perez, yeah, the strikeouts are just, they're just too insane to ignore. I have to kind of go against my rule and put a pitching prospect in the top 10. So hopefully that's what you kind of gathered out of this today, if nothing else. Be fluid with this list. You know, it's fun to think about these guys, but none of them are anywhere close. You know, I mean, Corbin Carroll is probably the only guy on this list we actually have a chance to see this year in real, you know, realistic sense. Although I think Michael Harris will also be up. You probably think Weimer can be up in some capacity too, I'd imagine. But
dude, honestly, if he keeps hitting like this, and I mean, if injuries pop up, but
sure. But if we were betting like hundreds and thousands of dollars, we would probably, you know, only bet on Carroll if you had to.
Yeah.
And even that's not a guarantee by any stretch. So these guys are far away, but I think this is how you got to start thinking of top 100 lists now, because you're not getting those guys that, you know, Julio and Witt or, you know, the Grace and Rodriguez's of the world. These are the guys.
If you have him, you're not selling them.
Yeah. So you can still go out and get that Ezekiel Tovar, who in some people's minds is a top 10 prospect, a number one overall prospect. And you can get him for not having to pay the price that you normally would. So anyway, I'm interested for is also to see these major publications when they have to update, because we're getting to the point now. I think what is Witt at? Witt's played almost essentially every day. And Julio too has been playing.
Yeah, Witt has 118 at bats. Yeah,
118 at bats. So what, 150 is when we got to start getting them off?
Yeah, I think that's official. Or are we doing at bats or plate appearances? I don't know.
130 is the major league thing, right?
Sure. I don't know. All I know is that by the time our midseason updates come out, he's going to be graduated.
Yeah. Yeah, all these guys are going to be off. And so you're going to see a lot of these lists begin to look the same at this point, because you have to have Witt and you have to have Julio and you have to have Adley and you have to have Riley Green, you know, Torkelson in some capacity, Grayson even. So we're going to see a lot of variance going forward. So you got to get your publications you trust. Obviously, ours is your number one. And then, you know, you got to do some other, you know, trusting of other guys and see what you like. So anyway, moving forward. Exciting to see. And we got more call-ups within the next couple of weeks, I imagine, as well. So, all right, David, I think that's going to do it for us. Anything else you wanted to add to this? What's going on in your life? How are the Brewers doing right now?
They're currently losing to the Marlins. So we'll see on the health of Willy Adames. Who knows? Perhaps by next podcast, we'll have Bryce Terang up. Perhaps not.
Also,
I do have an article that I'm going to be writing today and should be getting up on Prospects 1500 fairly soon on a double A prospect in the Brewer system that people should very much be keeping an eye on if they haven't already.
Very nice. Yeah, I think I'm writing up Estery Ruiz. I think that's my next article as well. I want to dive deep into that. And like I said earlier, just, you know, been waiting on him for a long time and sort of been waiting too long and I moved on, but might have been a mistake because he is off to an incredible start. But anyway, David Gasper, Alex Sanchez, your hosts here for Futures Focus. This is a podcast that is brought to you by Prospects 1500. Check out the site. You know, make sure you're following us for those prospect of the day tweets. You're getting those. I think it's just so fun to wake up to those each day and say, oh my God, you did what last night? That's insane. And then to see a random people have three home run days. You can't beat it. That's the minor league. So anyway, we'll be back with you next week. David Gasper again, Alex Sanchez, Futures Focus. We are out.